All right, Shabbos, say good morning, good morning. Aschus Baruch Hashem to be with all of you today. Sorry that I can't be there with you in person, but at least Aschus Baruch Hashem to be there with you virtually. Thank you to Jeremy and to my Yeshiva for helping enable this. Sorry about the little sound snafu before. Let's begin by thanking all of our sponsors for this morning. Sure to thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Sivan, Haba Alin Latova, Avram and Shane D. Kelman, for dedicating all the Sherman Drashos this month in memory of Avram's father, Rafael Yechiel. Yifral Yechiel ben Avram Zichron Livracha, and Ayala and Sarah Steinberg are Dafyomi sponsors for today in the schos of continued health for Shulam Mishana Bas Susha and for an ultimate refuah shalema. And also again sponsoring the shit today, my wife Aviva and I, in honor of the birth of our grandson Baruch Hashem to our children Miri and Avrami Rappaport. Baruch Hashem Yirtz Hashem his parents should be zocha lachnisa mevisa sham navino bismano legadlo the Torah lechupa ulemaisim tov. Just continue to share brachas and besaros tavos for all of Klal Yisrael. But with that, let us begin. Today's daf is Chof Tes 29. We have a beautiful, beautiful daf ahead of us today. We are picking up Emir Tashem on, so today's 29, Chof Tes, sorry. We're picking up on Chof Tes on base 28b at the two dots. So the Mishnah said as follows. This is Chatzi Echad Ba'of, which is 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 13 lines up from the bottom. So the Gemara says as follows. The Gemara says, Chatzi Echad Ba'of, Itmar, Rav Amar Mech, I'm sorry, actually we started this yesterday. Sorry, we're actually up to the first wide line, Tanan. So Tanan. So remember again, we ended off in yesterday's daf that when we say Rov, what's the definition of Rov? Does Rov mean 50% or does Rov mean 51%? So interestingly enough, this was a machlokes between Rav and Rav Kahana. So Rav said, Mechza al Mechza, 50-50 has the status of a Rov. And Rav Kahana said, Mechza Mechza, 50-50 does not have the status of a Rov. That was our fundamental machlokes. So the Gemara now is going to kind of flesh this out a little bit. And again, the Gemara's idea was that by Shechita, do we essentially say that as long as the majority is not unslaughtered, then halacha lemaisa, that's a proper shechita, which as long as you cut 50%, you're good to go? Or no, is the halacha you have to cut the majority, in which case you really would need to cut 51% in order for the shechita to be kasha. So that's our machloka. So the Gemara says as follows, Tanan. Gemara says, we learn, chatzi echad ba'of, v'chatzi bebehema, shechita sapsula. If you cut half a simin by an oaf, and 1.5 simonim by behema, the shechita is possible. So the Gemara says, i amit mechza mechza b'kerov. If you say that mechza mechza, 50-50 is like a rov, am I possible? Hi, avale rov. Again, if you did half in a bird or 1.5 in an animal, that's rov. That should be fine. To which the Gemara says, you're right, midirabanon, domalo asi lama avid palgo. You're right, maybe midaraisa it would work, but midirabanon, we're concerned that maybe you're not going to do an exact 50%. Okay, so the Gemara says, Amrav Katina, another example. Tashma, Chilko L'Shnayim. Suppose it's actually interesting halacha. This is if you have a kli that has become tame. Actually, Rashi points out over here that this is talking about a kli cheres. And you went ahead and you had a, Rashi says, tanur. You have an oven that became tame. Now, the way to go ahead and remove tumah from a kli is to go ahead and break the kli. Essentially, if you render it useless, then halacha l'maisa, the kli loses its tumah status. So in this case over here, you took a kli, you cut it in half. V'hein shnei, v'hein shavin, and both pieces are exactly the same size. So that was halacha. Shneim tamei, and ultimately both are tamei. Why? L'fishi efshel l'tzamtein, because it's impossible to be exact. The Gemara says, ha efshel l'tzamtein tohorin. But you see from here, if it were possible to be exact, then ultimately again, the pieces of the oven would be tahar. But again, amai tohorin, zil hacha igaruba, zil hacha igaruba. If you say that 50% is rov, then that means there's two rovs, right? If it's half and half, and each one is 50%, that means there's two rovs. Remembering in Abbas, if there's two rovs, that means the majority of the kli is intact. If the majority of the kli is intact, then it can't lose its tumah status. To which the Gemara says, Amra Papa, Tre Rubi Bechad Manaleka. No, you can't say that because you can't have two roves in one kli. That doesn't make any sense. Tashma, let's go weiter. Shachat Chatzigar Geretz Vishahaba Kitapav Chavtas Kidei Shchita Charetz V'Gamar Shchita Sokshera. If you shechted half of the gargaras, right? If you shechted half of the gargaris of the bird. And then what happens? You see, so shechted 50%, and then you paused. You paused enough time to be able to do a complete shechita, the gamra, and then you went ahead and you finished it. Shechita asok shera. Ultimately, again, the shechita is kasher. Now the Gemara says, 1 second, the amrit mechza a mechza kirov. Now if you hold that 50% is like the rov, then here's the problem. It's your fale. Then you've created a treifa situation because you've shechted more than 50%. To which the Gemara says, nisavit bebehema. Do you think we're talking? And then again, I will say, there would be a shehi, right? First of all, you'd have a shehi issue. And also, again, you'd have a treifa issue. To which the Gemara says, nisavit bebehema. Do you think we're talking about a behema over here? No, the Gemara says, lo, ba'of. We're talking about by a bird. Miman of shach, imechza amechza kirov ha'avid le'rubav. 1 second, if it's a bird, I don't understand. If you shechted 50% of one simon, so let's analyze this. If you hold that 50% is a rov, then okay, you're done. That's the shechit of a bird. The shechit of a bird, halacha l'maisa, is 50%. The Gemara says, imechza amechza eno kirov lo'avid ve'lo klum. And if 50-50, right, 50% is not the rov, then effectively you haven't done anything. So again, analyze more. Tashma, if Rabbi Seyi came to shech the animal and you found that half of the trachea was already cut and you added on a little bit, what's the halacha? We've seen this before. V'gamro, shechita sok shera. Ultimately, again, the shechita is good. Now, 1 second. V'yamid nechza nechza kirov. Treifa havyo. That if you hold that 50% is the rov, that means when you find 50% of that trachea cut, that animal should be a treifa. Amarava, shiny le'inyin treifa, deba'inan rov hanira le'inayim. So treifa is different. So this is actually very interesting. Why is treifa different? Because treifa doesn't just require any rov, any majority, but rather it requires what we call a rov hanira le'inayim. It has to be a visible rov. Now, I'll say this is actually very interesting because we've never actually seen this before in halacha. Or I should say we've never seen this before in our journeys throughout Shas. This idea that maybe in the world of rov, there are different types of rov. There could be rov, which is a majority, and then there's rov hanira le'inayim, which is a clearly discernible rov. So the Gemara suggests over here something very interesting, which is that perhaps when it comes to treifa, it's not just enough to have a rov, but you need a clearly discernible and visible rov. So the words amalei abaye velo kol dechein hu, and I will say if that's the case by treifa, if you need a rov hanira le'inayim, so certainly in our case, shouldn't you need a rov hanira le'inayim? After all, you must listen to this. When it comes to treifa, where an animal can become a treifa even with a very small amount, yet you need a clearly visible rov. So if that's the case, the Gemara says, shechita da'adi'ika ruba lo miskashra lo kol shekein. It's really by shechita. By shechita, where ultimately, again, you need a rove in order for the animal to be kasher. So, of course, you should not need just a regular rove, but you should also need a rove hanira le'inayim, a visible rove. To which the Gemara says, kol shekein da'ba'in a rove hanira le'inayim. Ella, rather, we'll say the Gemara does a little bit of an about face over here. The Gemara says as follows. Ella, the kuli alma mechza mechza ina karov. Okay, Gemara doesn't about face. In reality, everyone holds that mechza mechza, when you have something that is exactly 50%, that is not rov. So, Moshe, this is very important. We ended off yesterday and began today with an assumption that there's a machlokes Rav and Rav Kahana about is 50% considered to be a rov or not. Now the Gemara says, no, that's not a machlokas. Everyone agrees that 50% is not the rov. So what's the machlokas? But there is a machlokas, Rav and Rav Kahana, that does exist. So what is that? Listen to this. Very interesting. When Rav and Rav Kahana came along, their machlokas was about Pesach. What about Pesach? Itmar shari shahayi Yisrael mechza tor mechza tmeim. If Klal Yisrael was 50% tar and 50% tamei, Rav amar mechza amechza kirov. So Rav says, well, 50-50 in that case, that's like rov. That's like rov. Now again, Rabbi, remember, what's the impact of rov Klal Yisrael, the majority of Klal Yisrael being tamei by Pesach? So remember, Rabbi, there is a concept of tuma hotra betzibar, which literally means the laws of tuma are essentially negated, hotra, they're mutter, not duchuya, which means suspended. They're permitted, right? They're permitted. Well, we'll call it suspended. The laws of tumah are suspended when it comes to communal tumah, communal impurity. So therefore, again, so Rav will say 50%, right? 50% mechza mechza kirov for Rav Kahana Amar. Rav Kahana and Rashi says over here mechza mechza kirov utahorin. Osin la'atzman b'tara u'tmein osin la'atzman b'tumah v'lo mitchu la'pesach sheni ki yechidin. So remember again, we'll say, when it comes to Pesach, we have two constructs essentially. When you have individuals who are tameh, which inevitably must have always had, so individuals have a makeup date. That makeup date is called Pesach sheni. But when the tzibur is tameh, everyone does the carbon Pesach. Now Rashi points out something very interesting over here. Rashi says still, the Tahar people do it kind of on their own, and the Tami people do it on their own. But everyone goes ahead and observes it on the first Pesach. Incredible. So the Gemara says, so when it comes, so therefore again, the Gemara is like this. So Rav will say, when it comes to Tumah, so we'll say, again, Mechza ki Mechza, 50-50 is considered to be like Rov. And Rav Amar, Mechza Mechza ki Rov, for Rav Kahana Amar, Rav Kahana Amar, Mechza Mechza Eina Karov. Rav Kahana says, no, 50% is never the Rov. 50% is never the Rov. 51% is a Rov. The Gemara says, V'hasa my time with Rav. But why does Rav hold over here by Pesach that 50% is considered to be the majority? T'chsev ish ish kiya tamil nefesh. Because we'll say, interesting enough, when the Torah talks about Pesach Sheni, the second makeup Pesach, the Torah phrases it as ish ish, every individual. Every individual. So the Gemara says, "Ish nidcha ve'in sibur nidchin." Ultimately, an individual is pushed to Pesach Sheni, but the tzibur itself, and again, according to Rav, the tzibur essentially will be a substantive cohort of Klal Yisrael, and once you get to 50%, you're already at a substantive cohort, right? There's no longer individuals. 50% is no longer individuals. Therefore, already at 50% mark, you're not pushed to Pesach Sheni. So therefore, just let's solidify this. So it turns out that the Gemara says everyone agrees that halacha l'maisa 50% is not rov. What we call mechza, half, is not rov. But the machlokes Rav and Rav Kahana is in a specific area of halacha, namely Pesach. That halacha l'maisa again, if 50% of Klal Yisrael is tameh, what do? Do we push 50% to Pesach Sheni and the tar 50% does Pesach Rishon? Or maybe not. So Rav Kahana says, yeah, that's what we do. 50% is not the rov. Therefore, the 50% that's tameh, do Pesach Sheni. 50% that's tahar, do Pesach Rishon. Rav, however, will say, no, Pesach Sheni is only made for individuals. Once you reached the 50% threshold, ultimately, again, Halacha l'maisa, you can't go to Pesach Sheni with that size of a cohort, of a tummy cohort, and therefore again, everyone will do Pesach Rishon. But say it is interesting to note that, quite fascinating, that the way the Gemara understands this machlokes at the end of the day is that the machlokes Rav and Rav Kahana is about Tumah. It's about Tumah, right? So Rav paskins that 50-50 mechza al mechza ultimately, again, has the status of Tumah. Just, it struck me that, you know, the Gemara says that the Olam Yira Adam as Atzma, person should always see himself as Chatzi Zakai V'Chatzi Chayiv. A person should go through life always seeing themselves as half righteous and half liable. The model that the Gemara is trying to make is, I should almost always see myself in a state of spiritual equilibrium. Which means that why is that? First of all, it's good because it affirms the fact that even though I do bad things, I'm not a bad person. Because Baruch Hashem, I do a lot of good things also. So l'maisa, I should see myself in this state of chatzi chatzi, of like equilibrium. Now why is this important? So the Gemara says, because if a person does a mitzvah, he tilts his scales favorably. If a person does an aveira, he tilts his scales unfavorably. In other words, the Gemara is trying to highlight the power of this equilibrium personalistic state is that I recognize that everything I do goes ahead and somehow impacts and affects me. And when you live your life that way, you live your life just with a heightened state of just awareness. So it's really beautiful to see that, you know, when it comes to halacha l'maisa, when it comes to general halacha, 50 is not a rov. When it comes to matters of tumah, the Gemara says, right, that's the case. Tumah by Pesach. When it comes to tumah, that's where there's this machlokes. Do we say mechza a mechza kirov or not? And at least hashkafa l'maisa. Now halacha l'maisa. We pass in ultimately again. Actually, interestingly enough, like Rav in this case, that 50% of Klal Yisrael is Tameh, ultimately, again, Tumah Hutra B'Tzibor. But also, B'derech HaShkafa, HaShkafa L'Maisa. We pass in this way also. I have to see myself as Mechza K'Mechza. My scales are always in perfect equilibrium. Therefore, I need to be really careful what I do, how I act, what I say, because every single thing somehow, some way, tilts the scales. Let's go weiter. Says the Gemara. Rovech and Bov. So we'll say, remember again, when we saw the Mishnah, we made reference to this already, that the Mishnah itself seems to be a bit redundant. Because the Mishnah begins by saying, Hashochet echad ba'of u'shnayim be'behema, shechita sok shera, right? That you have to shecht one siman by an oaf, two siman by a behema. Then the end of the Mishnah says, Rov echad ba'of v'rov shnayim be'behema, shechita sok shera, right? That if you shecht the majority of one siman and an oaf, the majority of two siman and a behema, it's kasher. So we already pointed out that halacha l'maisa, that last statement, the last part of the Mishnah, is absolutely incomplete, or at least appears to be absolutely and completely redundant. So what's the pshat? So now we're going to go through this a little bit. So the Gemara says, Tenei chadzinna. We already learned this. We already learned this halacha in the beginning of the Mishnah, that you only have to shecht the majority of one simon by an oath and two simon by them. We learned this already. Tenei chadzinna. Ruba shal echad kamahu. Okay, so now we're going to give a couple of answers as to why the Gemara is not redundant and why there is a novelty being expressed over here. So it says Gemara as follows. Rav Hoshea says, one case, or one part of the Mishnah is talking about Chulin, and one is talking about Kachim, that both Chulin and Kachim share this same common halacha, namely, majority of one simon by a bird and majority of two simon by a behema. So, okay, why do I need to say that? It's really the Ashmolin and Chulin. If we would have just said Chulin, Hasan would have said, Berubim Mishum Delav Ladam Hutzarech. I would have felt like this. Maybe the din of Rov Simonim, which only have to shech the majority of a simon, ultimately, again, is a din in Chulin. Why? Because by Chulin, you don't need the blood. I don't need the blood when I do a regular shechita. But kachim, I do need the blood, right? Remember, I need the blood for sacrificial purposes. So maybe halacha l'maisa, by kachim, it's not enough to shecht the majority of the simonim. Maybe I have to shecht all of the simonim. We'll say first wide, end of the first wide line. V'yashmo inon kachim mishum d'ladam utzarech. And again, had it just said by kachim, I would have said by kachim. By kachim, ultimately, the reason why you have to shecht the majority of the simanim is because you need the blood. But by chulin, where I don't need the blood, also when you say I don't need the blood, is by a typical shechita, I have to get the blood out of the body, but I don't need the blood. By kachim, I need the blood. So that's the other havamina. For what is just said by chulin, I would have said, oh, chulin requires the majority of the simanim because by chulin you need the blood. However, again, but by chulin, where I don't need the blood, maybe halacha l'maisa, even shechting half of the simon is enough. Therefore, the Gemara says, kamash malon, the halacha always is that you shecht the majority of a simon, and by one simon by an oaf, and one simon by two simon by a behema, and that is the din both by birds as well as by animals, both by ofos as well as by behemoths. So the Gemara says, okay, we'll say third wide line 29a chav tes amad aleph. Hey b'chulin v'hei b'chadshim. So we'll say, now the Gemara says, okay, so now you're telling me the Mishnah is not redundant. One part of the Mishnah is talking about chulin, and one part of the Mishnah is talking about kachim. Which is which? Which part of the Mishnah is chulin? Which part of the Mishnah is kachim? Am Rav Kahana, mistabra reisha b'chulin v'seifa b'chadshim. It would appear that the reisha is the first part of the Mishnah is talking about chulin, and the last part of the Mishnah is talking about kachim. So the Gemara says, I don't know, why do you say that? Mimai, midiktani hashochet. Because we'll say it says hashochet. Now remember again, I will say hashochet. We've already seen this before. Is lashon b'diavad, ex post facto. If you shecht it, so b'pashtos that's not talking about kachim because kachim are a mitzvah. B'pashtos, It must be talking about chulin, to which the Gemara says, furthermore, again, if you thought that the Reisha was talking about kachim, hamolik mi boile, then again, it shouldn't say a shochet, right? Because by birds, by kachim, right? There's no shchita by birds. By kachim, the only thing you have by birds is malika. Elamai, rather, what do you have to say? Seif v'kachim. You have to say the first part of the Mishnah is talking about chulin, second part of the Mishnah is talking about kachim. So we'll say, so let's pause for just a second. So remember again, what the Gemara is saying, when we look at the Mishnah, we saw an automatic redundancy. Both the first part of the Mishnah and the last part of the Mishnah seem to be espousing the same exact idea, namely, that you have to cut the majority of one siman for a bird, majority of two simanim for a behemoth. Why they need to restate the same piece of information twice? So the Gemara says, oh, because one is talking about chulin, one is talking about kachin. Okay, and then the Gemara said, why you wouldn't have thought to learn out one from the other? Fine. Now we're just trying to figure out, so which part of the Mishnah is chulin, which part of the Mishnah is kachim? So the Gemara is suggesting over here now, that first part of the Mishnah is chulin, second part of the Mishnah is kachim. So the Gemara says, well, elamai, seif b'kachim, shechitasa k'shera, melikasa k'shera mibaylev. One second, here's the problem. The problem still, once again, is that the second part of the Mishnah uses the phrase shchita sokshir, your shchita's kasher. But once again, if we're talking about sacrificial items by birds, it should say malika sokshir, the malika is kasher. The Gemara says halo kasher. That's not a contradiction. Aidi the salik mebehema tana nami shchita sokshira. Since the first part of the last part of the Mishnah was first talking about behema, it just uses the behema digaloshin, right? It uses that same expression. Ela Reisha. So the Gemara says as follows. Ela Reisha Michti Al Ovkai. So the Gemara says, rather again, let's say the Reisha. So the Reisha is talking about the Ov. Isaradai Tala Kachim. Hamolik Niboi. So again, I will say, so we go back to the Reisha for just a moment. Right? If we say that ultimately, again, it's going on Ov, if it's talking about Kachim, then once again, it's just say Hamolik. Because remember, again, we'll say, there is no Shechita by sacrificial birds, only Malika. So the Gemara says, Isaradai Tala Kachim. Hamolik Niboi. Rasim Ra Ashi Amar. So Rasim Ra Ashi says, Reisha b'chulin mehacha. So Rashi knows is trying to affirm this model that the Reisha is talking about chulin seifa kachim. So Rav Sinra Ashi says, I'll tell you how. Sinra Ashi mehacha diktani echad ba'of. Because the first part of the Mishnah says you have to shecht one simin by an oaf. Now watch this. Now, if you think the Reisha is talking about kachim, ha'ika olas of the bay shnei simanim. Also, remember again, we keep coming back to this distinction: the distinction between a chatas ha'of and an olas ha'of. Right? Chatas ha'of has one simin. Olas ha'of has two simanim. So, in the Reisha of the Mishnah, the Mishnah only talks about birds having an obligation of one simin. Of one simin. If that's the case, it can't be talking about kachim, because by kachim there are cases ultimately again of two simanim. Elamai, seifa b'kachim. Rather again, well, so what do you have to say? The Reisha is talking about chulin, the seifa is talking about kachim. So the Gemara says, Rov echad ba'of, ha'ika olas ha'of. Here's the problem. Look at the Seifa. The Seifa talks about Rov Echad Ba'ov, that by birds you have to shech the majority of the simin. But once again, what about Olas Ha'ov, right, which requires two simanim, to which the Gemara says, My Rov Echad, Rov Kol Echad Ve'echad. What does it mean ultimately, again, the majority of a simin? It means the majority of each of the simanim. So when the Seifa says that for a bird you have to shech the majority of the simin, it means the majority of each of the two simanim. The Gemara says, Ubedinhu, the listening Rav Shnayim. In reality, the Mishnah would have normally said the majority of two simanim by the bird, since the Seifa is talking about kachim. But kevan de ikachatos, the sagile bechad simin, mishum hachilo psikale. But it didn't want to say the majority of two simanim. Why? Because you do have chatasa'ov, and chatasa'ov only requires one simin, not two. So because of that, it just uses the lashon of two simanim. Okay, Rav Papa says, Reisha b'chul mehacha. So I'll say, interestingly enough, everyone is agreeing to this model. Everyone is agreeing to this model, namely, that halacha l'maaseh, the Reisha is talking about chulin, and the Seifa is talking about kachin. Everyone seems to be agreeing with this. They're just ultimately, again, highlighting this, or I should say, solidifying this in different ways. Rav Papa says, Reisha b'chulin mehacha. I'll tell you that the Reisha is chulin based on the following. Diktani Rav Yehuda Omer, Achi yishchot es havridin. Remember the Reisha said, talked about Rabbi Yehuda said, that you have to shecht the vridin by birds, right? By birds. Upligi Rabbanan alei. Now the Rabbanan seem to argue on that, right? Because the fact that it's stated in the name of Rabbi Yehuda indicates that this is Rabbi Yehuda's position, but the Rabbanan don't agree. So Mar says, I amrit b'shlomo b'chulin shapir. If you say that the Reisha is talking about chulin, then this makes sense. Eli I amrit b'kodshim. But if it's by kodshim, am I pligi Rabbanan alei? Why would the Rabbanan disagree? Why wouldn't the Rabbanan require the cutting of the vridin? After all, hu atzmo ledam hu tzarech. Remember again, by kodshim, all the more so, there should be a reason to cut the vridin. Why? Because halacha l'maaseh, you need the blood. Right? Remember again, by chulin we want to cut the vridin, as we saw 2 days ago. Why? Because halacha l'maaseh, because fowl is often roasted whole, we need a way to properly and completely extract the blood. But by kachim, where you need the blood for sacrificial purposes, it makes even more sense to cut the vridin. Rav Ashi says, safer by kachim ehacha. Rav Ashi says, this, and therefore that's his proof that the Reisha is talking about chulin. Rav Ashi says, seifa b'kachim yacha, we can prove that the seifa is talking about kachim how. Diktani, ha-shochet shnei roshim ke'echad shchitaso k'shera. This is interesting. That what's the halacha? Next Mishnah, right? Is it the next Mishnah? Yeah, actually it's the next Mishnah. Tomorrow's daf. Right, ha-shochet shnei roshim ke'echad, if one shechts two animals at once, what's the halacha? Shchitaso k'shera. Ultimately, again, the shchita is good. Now, what do you see from here? Hashochet the eved in lechatchila lo. Now, remember again, shchita, whenever you see lashon of hashochet is ex post facto, which means b'di eved it's good lechatchila, it's not. I amrit b'shlama b'kachim hanil lechatchila lo. So if you say ultimately again that we're talking about kachim, then it makes sense that lechatchila you can't do this. Mishum detani Rabbi Yosef, tizbach, what it says, tizbach you shall offer, shelo yihu shneim shochtin. So tizbach number one teaches me that shchita is a singular experience. Only one person could do it, two people can't do it together. Zevach echad, right? I'm sorry. Shlo yeh shneim shochtim zebach echad. Two people can't shecht one carbon together. Tizbecheu, shlo yeh echad shochet shnei zebachim. Tizbecheu means you shall offer it. Tizbechu, that means that one person can't shecht two carbonos at once. So the Mishnah of Rav Kahana, Tizbecheu ksiv, ela I amrit b'chulin, afil lechatchila nami. But if ultimately again you say it's talking about chulin, then really lechatchila, you should be able to shecht two animals at once as well. Far from Shimon Lakish Sabar, so again, all we're doing over and over and over is solidifying this model that the Mishnah is not redundant, although the Mishnah says the same piece of information in its Reisha and Seifa, namely that a bird requires the majority, animal requires the majority of two simonim, bird requires the majority of one simon. It's not redundant. One is talking about chulin, one is talking about kachin, and it seems to be that the agreed upon model is the first part of the Mishnah, the Reisha, is talking about chulin. Second part is talking about kachim. Va'afrim shimen lakish sabar Reisha b'chulin b'seifa b'kachim. We'll say four lines up from the bottom. Even Reish Lakish gives you this. Dam Reish Shimon Lakish. Me'achar sheshanin rubo shal achar kamahu. Once we said that the majority of one simon is like the whole simon. Lama shanin rov achar ba'ofer of shnayim ve'behema. Why the need to go ahead and explicitly say that you have to check the majority of one simon by an ov and two simon by a behema. L'fish sheshanin, because we learned Ravos is actually really incredible. Heviu lo es atam. Because Ravosai, Yom Kippur. Avoda of Yom Kippur. Incredible. It's almost always, sorry, the sun, Baruch Hashem, is coming in. And it's almost always, let's see if I move back a little bit. Almost always Yom Kippur, Baruch Hashem. So the Gemara says, this is actually a very interesting case. Heviu lois ha-tamid. So if they brought, this is on Yom Kippur, they brought the Kohen Gadol, the tamid. So what happens? Kartso means he did the shechita. He started the shechtit. Umerak achar shechitaso al yado. So I'm sorry, umerak achar shechitaso, sorry, heviu lois ha-tamid. Kartso, umerak achar. Umerak achar. So ultimately the halacha is as follows. If the Kohen Gadol goes ahead and begins the Shechita, he does the majority of the two simanim, and then interestingly enough, halacha l'maisa, someone else would come along. See if I move over here. It works. Okay. Hashem, life is all about the pivot. I think we're okay. All right, excellent. So the Gemara says as follows. So halacha l'maisa, the Kohen Gadol goes ahead and begins the Shechita. So, heviyo lo esatamid, kartso, umerek achar shchitasa ayado yochal lo merek yehi pasul. So we'll say now listen to this. So the Kohen Gadol does the shchita. So he shechs the majority of the two simanim. Then someone else comes along and finishes up the rest of the simanim. Now again, I will say this is actually very important because halacha lemaisa, the avot of Yom Kippur has to be done through the Kohen Gadol. So what the Mishnah is saying over here, the Mishnah Yuma is saying is, the Kohen Gadol would shech the majority of two simanim, and then someone else would come along and finish up the Shechita. Yochol lo mirek yehi pasul. You might have thought that if somebody else didn't come along and finish up the simanim, that halacha lemaisa, the Shechita would be pasul, to which the Gemara says, l'chach shanino, therefore we learned, rov echad ba'ov v'rov shnayim bebehema. Therefore the Mishnah says, no, all you need is the majority of one simon by an oaf, and majority of two simonim by a behema. Incredible. So again, here the Gemara's Hamina is, since by Yom Kippur, after the Kohen Gadol does the majority of the simonim, someone else comes along and finishes it up, you might have thought that the finishing it up was an indispensable part of the Shechita itself. Kamash malon, no. Therefore, l'kach shaninu, rov echad ba'of, rov shnayim bebehema. Amar mar, Yachol Omer Kehipas. One second. Really? You think that if someone else didn't come along and finish up the Kohen Gadol's Avoda on Yom Kippur, that ultimately Yom Kippur was it? Again, first of all, just isn't it incredible? Yom Kippur Sugya. Mamish Yom Kippur Sugya. You feel it in the air. Shavuos is behind us. The journey to Yamim Noraim now is serious. Now, Mamish, it's here. So you might have thought that halacha lemaisa, if the person didn't finish up the shechita, that's not good. Rosh Hashanah Amud Beis 29b imkain havi de'avodah ba'achar. One second, hold up. If that's the case, then what that is saying is that the other person's completion of the shechita is a necessary part of the avodah. But here's the problem. That means someone else is doing the avodah on Yom Kippur. And what's the halacha? V'tanya, we'll say I'm on 29b, about to be on the second line down. V'tanya, we learned, kol avodas Yom Kippur enek sheros elabo, that all of the avodah of Yom Kippur is only kasher with the Kohen Gadol. To which the immersive health comes means to say, Yachol Yehei Pasul Midrabanon. Oh, I might have thought that maybe that halacha lemaisa the shechita is pasul midrabanon. That's what I would have thought. Right, that maybe the shechita, in other words, not pasul midrabanon, so maybe drabanon. It's not that chamina, because I would have thought ikh pasul midrabanon lekach shanino rov echad ba'ofer rov shnayim bebehema. So ultimately, and therefore the Mishnah says halacha lemaisa, no, shechita is the majority of one simon of a bird and two simonim of an animal. Therefore, when the Kohen Gadol shechts the majority of the two simonim, we're done. I don't even need to do the rest midrabanan. But one second. But if that's the case, that the Shechita is done after the Kohen Gadol goes ahead and does the majority of the two simonim, then why do I need someone else to come along and finish up the Shechita? It's a good shayla, to which the Gemara says, mitzvah lemarek. Ultimately, again, it is a mitzvah to go ahead and finish it up. Now, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, okay, what does this mean? It's a mitzvah to finish it up. Rashi, the mitzvah marek, mishum dam, because of the blood. In other words, I guess the more you cut, the more blood you get. The more blood you get, the more you have available for sacrificial use. Now, Rashi goes on and he says, va'ani shamati biyumo mishum debirov am hadras melech. Other passage of Rashi says, I heard that maybe Rav Am Hadras Melech means the more people, the greater the kavod to HaKadosh Baruch. So therefore, if you get someone else participating in the Shechita over here, then perhaps, again, there's greater kavod to Hashem. Ve'ein libi omreke kach. Dimkein kol avodos nami. So we'll say, it's interesting enough, Rashi says, it doesn't make any sense. Because if it was Barov Am about getting more people involved, then you should have done that with all of the avodos, not just here. Therefore, Rashi seems to say that the mitzvah is to finish up the Shechita, because by finishing up the Shechita, you'll get more sacrificial blood. I will say it's also potentially like a tremendous Moser Haskel over here. Right? Yom Kippur is the day of Slicha v'chapara. Yom Kippur is the day of forgiveness, which also means that Yom Kippur fundamentally is the day of new beginnings. One of the most incredible ways in which to maximize a new beginning is to start things and finish things in life. Right? I would venture to say that for many of us, one of our greatest challenges is we start and then we stop and we never finish. You start on something in life, a dream, a goal, an aspiration, an initiative, and it has like that new initiative smell, that excitement, you know, I'm all in. And then what happens? Time goes on and my commitment wanes a bit. And when that commitment wanes, often those initiatives kind of get put in that closet of life initiatives where stuff just keeps on piling up. So perhaps, you know, on Yom Kippur, when all of Klal Yisrael is looking, what happens? The Kohen Gadol does the Shechita. And yes, the Shechita, Halachic Shechita, is the majority of two simanim. But then what happens? Someone else comes along and says, let's finish this. Let's finish this. And that person is an extension of the Kohen Gadol. The only reason we don't have the Kohen Gadol himself do it, remember, is because we need him to preserve his strength. Because the Kohen Gadol is the one who has to do all of the work over Yom Kippur. So someone else, else the Kohen Gadol, his shaliach, his agent, is going to come finish it up. But the Musar Haskel for us is so profound. If you start it, finish it. Right? If you and yeah, you're right, it's not going to be as exciting. Any initiative as it goes on is going to not going to have the same level of excitement and intensity. But success in life comes from finishing that which you have started. Incredible. I'm Mishum Elokish, Mishum Levi Saba, Ein L'Shechita Ela B'Sof. Saba says, great sugya, really great sugya. So listen to this. So Rish Lakish says, Shechita is only occurs at the end of the event. In other words, they're both saying, what we'll call it is the chalos, the culmination of Shechita, the creation of a valid Shechita is something that occurs at the end of the process. We'll see what this means in just a moment. Rabbi Yochanan says, Yeshnu l'shchita mitchila ve'atzof. No, not true. Shchita is a process. Shchita is a process. And it's called shchita from the beginning until the end. So we'll say, it's a fundamental achlokes. What is the definition of shchita? Reish Lakish says, shchita is almost like the result. When you cut the majority of a simen by a bird, or the majority of two simen by an animal, that is now called shchita. The process of cutting is not shechita. The result is called shechita. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, the process is also called shechita. Yeshna the shechita mitzchil levatzov. Shechita from the moment that you begin till the end, it's all called shechita. Now, why does this matter? Watch this. Amar Rabbo, hakom odim heichel d'shachet simen echad alei gochavim simen echad yisrael shi psula. So we'll say, let's give an example. Let's say you have an animal and I'm shechting it, and I call an akum, and the akum, let's say by a behemo, you need two simonim. Akum shechts the first one, and I do the second one. Now, I finish the shechita. The akum began it. I finish it. So the Gemara says, no. In that case, everyone agrees that the shechita is possible. Why? Shari na'as abab ma'isa trefe b'yat ovei kochavim. Because when the ovei kochavim shechts one of the simonim, he's effectively made the animal into a trefa. So he has engaged in a halachically meaningful act, and therefore halacha l'maisa, the shechita is not going to be good. Now, listen, I watch this similarly. Ba'olas ha'olf na mihecha demalak simen echalamada. V'simen echalamada lo psulo shari asa ba ma'isa chatasov. So too, again, I'll say, by olas ha'olf and chatasov. Remember again, olas ha'olf has to be done on the top of the mizbeach. Chatasov has to be done on the bottom part of the mizbeach. So if I did one simen below, one simen on top, that's also going to be for an olas ha'olf. That's also going to be invalid because halacha l'maisa, I performed the act in an invalid way. Lo nech l'kurba says, watch this. Where does the machlokes come up? Kigon sheshachat simen echad b'chutz v'simen echad b'fnim. Watch this. But say, let's say I have a sacrificial animal. Now again, the halacha is the sacrificial animal has to be slaughtered in the confines of the Beis HaMikdash. So watch what I did. I shechted one simen outside the Beis HaMikdash and one simen inside the Beis HaMikdash. So again, Rabbi Yochanan, remember, there's a concept by Karbanos called Shchutei Chutz. Shchutei Chutz means a carbon that is shechted outside of the confines of the Beis HaMikdash that is possible. That is possible. So halacha l'maisa, let's say now I shechted one simen outside the Beis HaMikdash, one simen inside the Beis HaMikdash. What is the halacha? Is the shechita good or not? So watch this. L'man damar yesh l'shechita mitchil levat sof. For the opinion that says that shechita is a continuum. It starts at the beginning and it goes all the way till the end. So mechayit, that's called shchutei chutz. Because that first simen is part of shechita and you did it outside. L'man damar l'enu l'shechita el l'basof lo mechayit. But for the opinion that says, no, shechita is the culmination. Shechita is the result of having cut the simen. That means it's not called shechita until both simonim are cut. If that's the case, we only really look at the status at the end of the cutting of those two simonim. Since the second simon was done inside the Beis HaMikdash, therefore halacha l'maisa, you're totally good to go. Fascinating, we'll say no. So what is the fundamental definition of shechita? Do we say, ein l'shechita ella basof, shechita is the culmination. After you cut two simonim by behemoth, once and by bird, then it's called shechita, but it's not called shechita before. Or no, Shechita is the process. Is it the culmination, right? The end result, or is it the process? And Nafkamin is exactly this case we just saw. Amrli Rabba Bar Simi, Amrli Rabba Bar Simi, Marlo Amahachi. So Rebbe didn't say this. Who are we talking about? One Rav Yosef. And it was Rav Yosef, Hecha the Shachas Menecha Bechosis Menecha Bifnim, Nami Pasol. That's not true. Everyone will agree, or maybe everyone will agree, that if you shechted one simon of the animal outside the Beis HaMikdash, one simon inside, that the carbon is going to be possible. Why? Because we will say you did something halachically significant, right? You did something meaningful outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Literally, again, you did the maisa of a chatas ha'ov, because remember, chatas ha'ov only requires one simin. Lo nechleku, so we'll say, so really, what's the machlokas? Lo nechleku elok yagon sheshachat miyot simana b'chutz v'gan ro b'fnim. This is interesting. Let's say that you shechted not a whole simon outside, but you shechted the minority of, let's say, two simonim. One simon by a bird, two simonim by a behemoth, doesn't matter. But you shechted only the minority of the simonim outside, and then you finished it up inside the Beis HaMikdash. So what is the status over there? So if you hold that shechita is a continuum, that means you did a maisa shechita, even cutting a minority of the simonim is a halachically substantive act. That's called shechita, and you did shechita b'chutz, and you are going to be chayiv. But according to the opinion that says that shechita only applies outside of the Beis HaMikdash, lo mechayev. Ultimately, again, you will not be chayev. You will not be chayev because you also remember again because it's not called, it's only called shechita at the end. So Master Abizera says as follows: so kol asukin bepar mitchila vatzof mitam begadnu posten osa bemalacha acheres. So we'll say, listen to this. So now, so we'll say, so this is our fundamental machlokis over here. Yeshna l'shchita mitchila v'atzov, or is shchita just the result, right? Is it the culmination? It's not called shchita until after you've done the act of cutting the simanim. Or no, yeshna l'shchita mitchila v'atzov, ultimately, again, it's going to be a continuum. This is our fundamental machlokis. Now, the Gemara brings up a raya. Actually, we'll say, you know what? We'll stop over here by Master Rav Zeir kala oskim b'para. I'm sorry, I apologize. I know we got like a 2-minute delayed start because of the technical details on my end. I apologize. I'll just end off by saying like this. We just learned today that Tumah Hotshra B'Tzibur, which is a halachic concept when 51% of Klal Yisrael is Tameh, Tumah's Mutar, right? Tumah's set aside. But Hashkafically, there's also something very profound, which is there's a power to being with the collective. Tumah Hotshra B'Tzibur. Sometimes you have your own individual baggage. But when I'm embedded within a holy chevra, then ultimately, again, somehow I'm even able to overcome my own personal baggage. When I'm by myself, I'm an individual, I got to deal with all of my stuff. When I'm embedded as part of a holy chevra, then tumah hutra b'tzibur. Sometimes my own personalistic tumah is lifted up a little bit when I'm part of a holy chevra. I'll tell you, I'm so happy that I'm able to join you virtually, but I will say that not being there in the Beis Medrash with the chevra, and even it feels different with the Zoom chevra when I'm in the Beis Medrash, doesn't feel the same. I feel a little bit heavier today only because I feel like I have to shoulder my own stuff by myself. When I get to sit in the Beis Medrash with the Holy Chevra, I feel like everybody lifts each other up. So Miratz Hashem, looking forward, we're away for Shabbos, but looking forward to seeing everyone in Miratz Hashem next week. Wishing everyone a beautiful, good Nerev Shabbos, a beautiful Shabbos Kodesh, and what a schus to continue this week of learning together. We'll say have a great day and good Shabbos.